The court will now move to the sixth case of the morning, number 04-1689, Martin Tabaku against the Attorney General. Mr. Burton.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Justin Burton. I'm here on behalf of Martin Tabaku and Mrs. Bino in a petition of review of the Board of Immigration Appeals decision. It was a one-paragraph decision that didn't really decide the merits of the case. Rather, there's a short description on whether, in fact, badgering was allowed in the courtroom and whether the immigration judge, properly decided the law on whether whether badgering was allowed on cross-examination. The immigration judge's decision was lacking. He ruled on two separate points. One was credibility. The other one was whether the petitioner met his burden of proof on the asylum, withholding of removal, or convention against torture relief. When the immigration judge ruled on the credibility, he found he concluded that the statements that were provided to the court in testimony were both self-serving and uncorroborative. However, testimony that's self-serving and uncorroborative doesn't necessarily translate to it being incredible.
That's true, but I would point to two of the things the immigration judge mentioned as perhaps easier to assess from this point of view. We ask that the immigration judges explain why they have made an adverse credibility judgment. And the first is differences between Mr. Tabaku's testimony about the incident in which his cousin was killed and the various newspaper articles that reported that same event. He says these are really two quite different things, and these outside materials undermine Mr. Tabaku's story. And the second is what the judge finds is the implausibility that Mr. Tabaku would have reported this death to the police 4 days after the police were abusing him so seriously because of his attempt to help this Polish girl escape. Do you have to draw that inference? Maybe not, but is it a permissible inference? It seems to me it probably is a permissible inference. And so those are two of the elements of the immigration judge's credibility decision that you might want to comment on.
Sure. With regards to the articles that were presented into the record, there's actually three different articles, both mentioning the death of Mr. Tabaku's cousin, actually in his presence. Three different articles stated three different reasons on why Mr. Tabaku's cousin was murdered. There is evidence in the testimony that it was submitted for purposes of showing that his cousin was actually murdered, but also explained that there does exist such corruption in Albania that it affects the media, it affects the newsprint. And I think he showed how it affects it by three different newspapers coming out with three different articles about the same event using different facts. It was submitted merely for the point of this is truth, this is what's going on there, and even though they may contradict one another and even though it may contradict possibly the testimony, Mr. Tabaku knew the truth, and he was there to present the truth, and unfortunately this is all the evidence that he had for the court.
But why does that compel, of the three or four accounts, why does that compel the immigration judge to conclude that it's Mr. Tabaku's account that comes closest to what happened as opposed to one of these others?
Mr. Tabaku had the possibility of withholding these articles from the court. It was his documentation which he presented. It wasn't the government's. The government didn't use it to impeach him by any means. Rather, it was him that came forward and presented the articles knowing that they were going to contradict his testimony. He wasn't inconsistent at all in his testimony. It's actually very detailed when he spoke before the court. And so it doesn't necessarily – it would compel the court to at least look at the country conditions, which the IJ didn't do in this particular case, along with looking at who's presenting the materials, who's producing the documents, and where the testimony is coming from, and the explanation of what is really happening. And
What kind of evidence of country conditions was before the immigration judge?
There was a report from the International Crisis Group, among others, which indicated the overwhelming corruption that goes on in Albania. Also, the trafficking of women back and forth across the border, as well as Albanian girls being taken from their houses, even on their way to school. In fact, at page 258 of the administrative record, it indicates that 90% of school-age girls over 14 years of age in the rural areas don't even go to school anymore. They're in such fear of these hostile conditions, the corruption, the trade of prostitution that's going on between Greece and Italy and other European countries as well. So I think it would compel the judge to at least look at these country conditions, look at what's proffered, where it's coming from, and at least understand that here's the testimony, here are the facts before him, and yes, they may differ with his own testimony. He's the one that put it forward. I think at least compel an analysis of some sort, but the analysis is woefully lacking in this case. The fact that he went 4 days afterwards to report the murder of his cousin to the police just looks at he was looking for a last resort. He was looking for any hope whatsoever. He went to the police department, even though he was beaten 4 or 5 days before. It may have not have been the same police department, may have not been the same police officers, but he went there in hopes that something would be resolved. Somebody had to report it. In fact, nobody had reported it. They went back to the scene of the crime, and yet nobody was willing to help out the police or give them any explanation of what had happened at that time. I mean, I think that's part of the reason. Well, in any event, the credibility aside, I mean, even moving on to the asylum part of the case and the burden of proof, the analysis by the immigration judge didn't go into whether Mr. Tabaku suffered persecution on account of his particular social group or political opinion. Really, it only really discussed his religious background, which really isn't the crux of the claim here. It's helping out women who were forced into prostitution who were able to escape, go to the church or go to their consulates and receive some sort of help to get back home, to get back to their families. He didn't do it for personal gain, like the respondent's brief alludes to. He didn't earn any money off of it. He was working over there. He actually made a pretty good living over there. He worked in the theater. And he just didn't come to the United States, as they would allude, just for money as well. I mean, certainly he had a pretty good life over there. He graduated with a bachelor's degree, and then he come to the United States and have to start over from scratch. It's not something that certainly an asylum seeker looks forward to doing. Also, they indicate that the testimony was uncorroborated. There was a lack of supportive documentation. When Mr. and Mrs. Tabaku fled Albania, they didn't look towards documentation that can carry with them to apply for asylum once coming to the United States. That's the last thing they thought of. They thought of first fleeing, getting out of there, getting their lives safe, and then possibly seeking asylum in another country once there. It didn't cross their mind that they had to start gathering together documentation supporting either the political opinion or particular social group. In fact, half of their documents were destroyed when the police officers came to their house and saw this Democratic Party materials. Certainly, we believe that he established his burden just based on his testimony alone to demonstrate past persecution. The country reports that were ignored substantiate that as well.
Why didn't you put the country reports in?
Judge, unfortunately, I wasn't the attorney of record on the case down below. However, it is mandated by statute that the country reports are submitted into the record by either side. I'm not sure if they were just not included in the administrative record. I don't know why the country reports of the State Department aren't in there. But
here they basically corroborate your client's view of the world.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But so do the articles basically reiterate that are in the record, reiterate what the State Department has concluded already, the amount of corruption. Also, as of late, within the last 6 months, Congress has convened a commission to look into the corruption, the prostitution smuggling that has gone. Our Congress has looked into the prostitution and the smuggling of it in Albania and the corruption. Our Congress is certainly aware of the problems in Albania, too. Lastly, the judge seemed to indicate, well, he did indicate that there's a cardinal error in not presenting the female petitioner to testify in court that day. He ruled before the female petitioner even could testify that there is allowable scrutiny to the point of badgering on cross-examination. When looking at the female petitioner, she just gave birth 4 weeks before the hearing. It's unclear, it's clear that they weren't hiding her testimony, but it's unclear why their motives were not to put her on the stand. I think it's a logical conclusion that they didn't put her on the stand because, she was overwhelmed from the birth, that certainly she wasn't able to withstand badgering on cross-examination. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Burton. We'll hear now from Ms. Schwartz.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'll work my way backwards. Badgering was not an issue in why petitioner's wife decided not to testify. It was on page 75 of the record before testimony even began to be taken. She was excused not just from testifying but from the courtroom. None of the direct examination had begun, much less the cross-examination or any allegations of badgering, or the word was never mentioned. Cross-examination had not begun. She was excused before testimony began. Therefore, all of this about how she must have been intimidated or weakened by a recent birth is absolute nonsense, not raised before.
Wait a minute. I mean, intimidation maybe, but it seems to me, although we certainly don't have the benefit of whatever her testimony was, I think drawing any adverse inference from the lack of the testimony goes pretty far. You know, 4 or 5 weeks after one has a baby, it's not uncommon to be really tired a lot of the time and maybe just not up to it. We don't know. I mean, we just have a nothing. And so my only point is for the immigration judge to draw any inference one way or the other from it seems to me not supported.
The point is we don't know. But
and so why should the judge be justified in drawing an adverse inference when there's so many possible explanations?
I can provide you with case law, not at the moment, but I can 28-J case law that says the judge is entitled to draw an adverse inference from a petitioner's decision not to testify. I will provide that.
But she's the derivative petitioner. You know, they're relying on his account, you know, basically what happened to him. She's not saying I'm the one who was standing next to the cousin who was killed or the one who was beaten or the one...
She does. I mean, one of the...
Well, she was kidnapped in the one
right,
instance,
and
I
that
know.
Cousin was the one who rescued her. And that's part of this petitioner's claim. On the same day that he was taken to the police station, his wife was kidnapped. I think that testimony is pertinent, especially because it would purport to establish a link to the cousin who was murdered 4 days later. If he doesn't want to base the claim, that's fine. But yes, the immigration judge is entitled to draw an adverse inference. But the point is, whether he does or not, you can't say it was a result of badgering. That is just a patently misleading and not based on the record.
Badgering. I'm more just on the inference from the lack of testimony. No one is disputing that this cousin died, right?
No one disputes that cousin died, but the point is there is no nexus to a statutorily protected ground, A, nor a nexus to petitioner. It was his cousin who was killed.
Standing right next to him.
Anyone standing next to him might have been hit by a machine gun. Petitioner wasn't targeted. He hasn't established a nexus between himself and his cousin relating to this incident, and he hasn't established a statutorily protected ground for this incident. It could be a blood feud. In fact, he's the one who says, I'm not basing my claim on political opinion at page 124 of the record. He says it's because of the murder of my cousin. Now, because he has submitted articles and has also said mentioned the blood feud, and he fears now that this family is going to come after him, he himself has presented an alternate reason. Well, a reason that is not protected by statute. Therefore, it cannot be said that the evidence in the record compels only the finding that his fear is protected by statute, because he himself has provided evidence that there's an alternate reason for it, which is not. A blood feud is not protected by statute. In fact, I'm flummoxed. I don't know what the statutory ground is for his claim for asylum. And that was a point that was raised here. I mean, petitioner complains that the immigration judge based it on religion. Well, he based it on religion at the hearing. If you look at the summation, it's the activities on behalf of the church. was the basis for his fear of persecution, but he's not saying I'm going to be persecuted because of my activities on behalf of the church now. He's, for the first time to this court, he says, I'm a member of a particular social group of people who helped victims of human trafficking. That's admirable, but where is the social group? And it hasn't been exhausted. So I still don't know on what basis he's claiming, what statutory basis he's claiming that he fears persecution. Conditions in Albania are not very good. I wouldn't want to live there, but apparently neither do many Albanians. That does not give them the right to claim asylum in the United States. That does not render them eligible for asylum on account of one of the statutorily protected grounds. Even if he is found to have been credible that he was taken to the police station and beaten, it was for extortion. He doesn't establish what statutorily protected ground that happened. Even if it were one isolated instance where the injuries are not apparently dreadful, I think Saidi just said that a very recent case, this case decided, is not enough to establish past persecution. If he has no past persecution, then his claim fails.
Well, he doesn't get the presumption.
He
would still be entitled to prove reasonable.
He does, but it's the burden of proof is his, that to establish evidence that compels only the conclusion that he fears, has a well-founded fear of persecution on account of a statutorily protected ground. He has failed to do so. He has failed to establish evidence which compels no finding other that he fears persecution on account of a statutorily protected ground. He fears corrupt police, which happen all over Albania. He fears that he, as the eldest male, will be the victim of a blood feud. Now, it's established that blood feuds continue in small towns in Albania. He has an article that talks about it, but that's not protected by statute. That's a personal dispute that's clearly excluded from the purview of the statute. I don't see a statutory basis that's established in the record that's even set forth, much less compelled. But the evidence does not compel that there's a statutorily protected basis. He has a sympathetic case. He doesn't want to live in Albania. He did some good deeds when he was there. But a lot of people do good deeds in Albania. Doesn't qualify them for asylum. Are there any questions, Your Honors? The government submits. Thank you.
Your time had expired, but if you have something you'd like to reply to, I will give you a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just very quickly, Your Honors. Opposing counsel indicates that there was no particular social group that was brought up before the immigration judge. In fact, there was. And when one fills out an asylum application and one starts their testimony for the immigration court, in the 589 applications, which are in the record, there's check marks what grounds you're seeking asylum on. One is particular social group. The other one, in this case, is political opinion, and the other one is religion. The record is totally devoid of any analysis whatsoever on political opinion or particular social group. In fact, Mrs. Tabaku was not kidnapped. There's an attempted kidnap on her life, attempted kidnap of her. I think her testimony, the lack of her testimony, the lack of just simply opening up the door of the courtroom and she's sitting right outside in the hallway where it's situated, I think it's a violation of her due process rights. They excused her from the courtroom. She was sitting in the courtroom. The baby started crying, they were afraid the baby was going to cry. Steps right outside the courtroom. All they really had to do was open up the door. We do it all the time at the lower level at the IJs where the baby will sit outside the courtroom. The other witness will then step right back into the courtroom when they're ready to testify before the court. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel.
Thank you.
The case will be taken under advisement.